So it's called Low Sunday this week. An opportunity to recover from the excitement of Easter Sunday, although calling it Low Sunday sets pretty low expectations for the day, especially for attendance. This is unfortunate for all sorts of reasons, but particularly because today's gospel reading is so meaningful to so many people's experience of faith. We hear the story of Doubting Thomas on the second Sunday of the Easter season every year. Every year. How can there possibly be anything interesting to say about Doubting Thomas? And I admit that I struggled to find a message for this morning until I stood in the kitchen in the house in North Plainfield. Anne Marie was loading the dishwasher with the newest round of dirty dishes, and I was, shall we say, supervising the process. And as I stood there, I noticed a little magnet on the side of the refrigerator. Now, this magnet has been there for probably more than 5 years. I have seen this silly magnet a million times, but this week was the first time I really noticed it. The magnet shows a green-skinned alien, complete with the big gray eyes and the antenna, with the words, "Do you believe?" written around the edge of the magnet. The green-skinned alien has a speech bubble coming out of his mouth that says, "I believe." And as silly as this might sound, that silly little magnet made me think about what we believe and why we believe it. After all, if you're a green-skinned alien, it's easy to believe in green-skinned aliens. No mental leap is needed, no crazy reasoning. All you have to do is look in the mirror to see that you do, in fact, exist. And it would be very silly for a green-skinned alien to doubt the existence of green-skinned aliens. So why is it hard to believe in Jesus? And for me, at least on some days, it can be hard to believe in Jesus, because believing in Jesus is not just a matter of accepting that there was some dude walking around Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, because for me, believing in Jesus requires me to believe that Jesus was fully human and fully divine, something hard enough to explain and something even harder for me to believe all the time. Believing in Jesus requires me to believe that Jesus was God with us, Emmanuel, God with skin. For me, at least, believing in Jesus requires me to believe that Jesus rose from the dead. And that is a tall order. To believe that Jesus rose from the dead, there is nothing I can see in today's world that makes belief in Jesus seem any easier. It's not as though we can look around us and see many people who have risen from the dead. Dying is a regular part of our experience as humans, but rising, it's not as common. So that makes it easy for me to identify with Thomas, the disciple best known for his statement of doubt. It seems that Thomas was not present with the other disciples when they had locked themselves away in a hidden room when Jesus appeared. But when Thomas hears about Christ's appearance, he does not believe the ones who tell him. Thomas gives what's essentially an ultimatum to the other disciples, saying, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." But what is it that Thomas doesn't believe? Is Thomas struggling to accept that Jesus appeared among the disciples? Is he struggling to believe in the resurrection itself? The statement Thomas makes has forever doomed him to the title Doubting Thomas. What I never really noticed before, though, is that Thomas, even in his doubt, does not remove himself from the company of the disciples. There is still something in Thomas that believes. Why else would he be with the disciples the next week when Jesus does appear again? So maybe Doubting Thomas is not the best name for this particular disciple. Maybe he could be called Human Thomas or Normal Thomas. After all, the reaction Thomas has seems reasonable to me, especially as someone who has never met anyone risen from the dead. For me, at least for today, there is one reason to remember the legacy of Thomas. Even in his struggle to believe, he does not abandon the company of the other believers. Even though Thomas doubts, he does not abandon his faith. There was a meme going around on Facebook earlier this week about so-called Doubting Thomas. It said, "Don't worry if you struggle to believe. You are in good company. In a few hundred years, you'll make a good Episcopalian." In the Episcopal Church, we create a safe space to ask questions and express doubts. In fact, many of the questions we ask and the doubts we express are indeed holy and lead us to a deeper, more passionate, and more compassionate faith. We hear in today's lesson from John that Thomas was also called the twin. And as I heard in an online sermon this week, each of us at some point in our lives could be a twin of Thomas. Thomas, in his doubt, is, after all, deeply human. I wouldn't mind being Thomas's twin. He doubts, but never abandons his faith completely. He sticks around with those other believers, never truly abandoning the little community of Christ's followers. I wouldn't mind being Thomas's twin, especially because his honest doubt is erased by a visit from the risen Christ. Thomas, even Doubting Thomas, is given the blessed opportunity to encounter the risen Christ. Thomas's honest doubt is washed away as he recognizes Jesus and greets the risen Christ by proclaiming, "My Lord and my God." So on this very sunny morning, I pray that my doubt will someday be pushed away, even if it's not until the day when I too encounter the risen Christ. And I pray that I too will proclaim Christ with confidence, "My Lord and my God." And I pray the same for all of us. Amen. Amen. Amen.